Good morning.
Muted.
And welcome to our time of worship, both in person and over Zoom. We gather as Whitewater Church. I pray that you will all know and feel the reality that even though we are not all physically together, the Spirit holds us together as the body of Christ. I'd like to begin by acknowledging our presence on the lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Métis nations, on treaty lands, covenanted between Indigenous and settler peoples in 1871. Recently, I learned that Boissevain is intersected by the dividing line between Treaty 1 and Treaty 2 lands. Where we are in Whitewater Church, we are on Treaty 2 lands. On the other side of Highway 10 is Treaty 1 land. As we straddle two covenanted lands, may the Spirit of Reconciliation infuse our words, our thoughts, and our actions now and in the future.
Good morning. First song that I'll be singing today comes from your Sing the Story songbook, number 39, Will You Come and Follow Me? If you're watching at home, you're welcome to sing along. And if you're here in person, you're welcome to listen and ponder the words.
Will you come and follow me if I call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown?
Song that I will be singing will be number 525 in your blue hymnal. If you have one at home or here in the pews, you're welcome to follow along. This is a song that's an adaptation of Psalm 1, so instead of reading it for you this morning, we're going to sing it.
How blessed are they who, fearing God, from sin restrain their feet, who will not with the wicked stand, who shun the scorner's seat. How blessed are they who make God's law their treasure and delight, and meditate upon that word with gladness day and night. Their lives are nourished like a tree set by the river's side. Its leaf is green, its fruit is sure, so all their works abide. The wicked, like the driven chaff, are blown across the land. They shall not gather with the just, nor in the judgment stand. The way of sinners far from God shall surely be o'erthrown. But God will guard the righteous well. Their way is watched and known.
Thank you, Mira. Today's scripture that Janet will be speaking from is Jeremiah 17, 5 to 10, and Luann Duick-Platt is going to bless us with the reading.
Good morning. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds.
Thank you, Luann. Our speaker this morning is joining us over Zoom. Janet Peters has been the Associate Program Director for Camps with Meaning for 3.5 years and is now heading into her fourth year of summer camp, and hopefully it will be a wonderful summer. Her family includes her husband Eric, her two teenage children, Rhea and Frankie, and her two cats. Janet has a deep love for the church and for young people. These drew her back to the camping ministry. Besides her family and her camp work, Janet enjoys reading, puzzles, walking, yoga, and writing. Let us pray for Janet before she speaks. Lord, we give thanks for Janet and her willingness to serve you. We pray for her as she shares the message you have moved her to prepare. Clear our minds of any distractions. Open our ears, our hearts, and our spirits to hear what you need us to hear, then move us to live out your message in our daily lives. Amen. Blessings, Janet.
Thank you. I hope everyone can hear me. This is something I have never done before, preach over Zoom. So I have recorded myself, but I have never actually preached to a screen of squares. So this will be a new experience for me. I'm happy to be here with you. I wish we could all be in person, but that is not to be this year, hopefully soon. So I've chosen to speak on the scripture text that we used last summer at camp, which is from Jeremiah 17. We took just the middle section there where it's talking about how blessed are the trees by the riverside. And then also drawing a little bit on Psalm 1, which is a very similar text and similar theme. Now the metaphor of the tree is abundant in scripture, and I'm sure that you have heard it used often in church, and we use it often as at camp as well, as a metaphor for growing in faith. As I said, we used it again this past summer in our Bible curriculum. Our focus or theme verse was Jeremiah 17 verses 7 to 8, the blessing part of a curse and blessing poem by the prophet, comparing those who trust in human strength, the stunted desert shrubs, and those who trust in God, deep-rooted, green, and fruitful trees. Another very similar poem is in Psalm 1, and I want to draw from the imagery of both of these texts this morning. Both Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1 compare and contrast two ways of being in the world, two ways of orienting our lives, two ways of rooting ourselves. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 10 is a judgment oracle. Jeremiah is challenging his listeners to examine their motivations, and so he begins with a curse. Those who turn from God, who rely on human ingenuity and human power alone, are like a stunted desert shrub, struggling to survive in a barren, salty wilderness with no hope for the future. And this sounds pretty bleak. By comparison, those who trust in God and in God's power and creativity are like well-situated, well-nourished riverside trees, fruitful, able to withstand drought, green and productive. The key for Jeremiah is trust. In whom or in what are we placing our hope and confidence? The Hebrew word used here for trust, batah, literally means to throw oneself forward. And I have an image of a toddler throwing themselves off the side of the pool, trusting that their parent or their grandparent or uncle or aunt will catch them. Trust is an action. It's an act of vulnerability. Who are we thinking will catch us? For Jeremiah, it's clear that human strength is not enough. Psalm 1, while similar in imagery and style, puts a little different spin on things. The psalmist begins with a positive choice. Those who delight in Torah, in the law of the Lord, are like riverside trees, fresh and green and fruitful and prospering. But not so the wicked, the sinners and mockers. These folks aren't even like a bush in the desert. They are worthless chaff to be blown away in the wind. For the psalmist, the main focus is on the Torah as a foundation for life, meditation on and obedience to the law or word of God. Torah to the people of Israel was more than just the law, the commandments. Traditionally, Torah is the first five books of the Bible. And so Torah is a guide to life. It articulates God's will, God's purpose, God's intention for Israel. And following Torah or living by Torah is Israel's way to respond and to honor fully the well-ordered world that God has created for us. It's the medium through which God's will is made known and the basis for true wisdom and happiness. The narrative, the story told of God's actions in creating and guiding a people and a nation, is rich with meaning. And the obligations or laws or commandments that are included are meant to shape a lifestyle for the people who tell and retell this story. Torah ultimately isn't about rules to be blindly followed, but about realizing God's intention for us and that it is beautiful and joyful and life-giving. So the psalmist and Jeremiah are both contrasting those who acknowledge a deep dependence on God, who seek to know God's will, who develop and nurture a personal relationship with God, with those who care little for religious tradition, who are scornful of a devout or spiritual life, and who are determined to live out of their own resources. At camp this past summer, we focused on the blessing portion of Jeremiah's message using the parts of the tree to talk about how we grow in our faith. All growth begins with the seed, which needs certain conditions to open and to grow. The roots are what make the tree strong. The trunk is the life story of the tree, and each one is unique. The branches and leaves are what we really notice about the tree. They create the shade and shelter, and also gather light for energy for the tree. And the fruit, including flowers and nuts and seeds, well, there's the cycle, are the ways the tree shares its goodness and life by by creating food and new life. Now, I love trees, and there's much that can be done with the tree image. Uniqueness and diversity, interconnectedness, growth and development. As a metaphor for the faith journey, it's pretty spot on. So I want to explore and expand on the outline from summer 2020, but start with the roots. Now, a couple of images came to mind as I was thinking about roots. At the Manitoba Museum, if any of you have been there, it's been a while for me, but there's a grasslands exhibit, and in one big glass case, they have a display of some prairie grass with its roots. And the grass itself is maybe about a foot high, but then you see all the roots underneath that are probably 4 or 5 feet long. I'm sure maybe they're even longer above my head, and they're quite bushy and they kind of go out farther than the grass. And I imagine that these grass roots need to go so deep to allow them to access the water table in dry years, and also to anchor that grass in the prairie winds. Another image that came to mind is of these trees that grow on the sides of cliffs. Somehow their roots anchor them in and find a way through the rocks to some sort of soil, and the tree leans out and up and doing its thing seemingly in midair. It's hard to see how it's hanging on to the side of a cliff. A third image is actually a memory. I grew up in Springsteen, and my mom had a very large garden, which of course we kids were required to help keep weed free. And it was instilled in me quite early that it is important, very important, to get the root, the whole root, when pulling out a weed. Any bit of root that's left in that garden meant that that sucker was going to come back. Now, some roots pulled out really easily, but others required patience, a slow pull, and a firm grip. It was always felt like a little bit of a triumph to pull out a weed with the entirety of its root system. And it was somewhat disappointing to see that broken tip at the bottom of the plant, which meant there was something left in the soil. Now, all of these images tell me that roots are integral to a plant's, to a tree's flourishing. They are nutrient and water gatherers, anchors and stabilizers, even resurrectors in a way. Jeremiah makes it clear that the blessed tree has roots that reach deep, meaning, of course, the blessed person is anchored and grounded and rooted deep. But what are we rooted in? I would suggest that Psalm 1 gives us one answer. We're rooted in the law, or the word of the Lord, in Torah. For the psalmist, our stability and grounding is found ultimately in the word, in meditating on the story and the laws and the poems that tell us God's love for us and will for us, and living into that vision through obedience and gratitude and love. If we take Torah as God's guide to living authentically, and if we can see that God's order and structure are ultimately liberating, we will grow strong and prosper. Now, we all know that life is more complex than just obey God and all will be well, but there is some truth in there as well. Our rootedness can provide stability to withstand the storms, the wind, the drought, and can provide hope for new life. Now, Jeremiah comes at it from a slightly different angle. For him, our rootedness is connected to trust. Our roots go in where we place our trust. And ideally, that would be in God. Since trust is best built within a relationship, we are being called to root ourselves in a relationship with God. Now, that could include many things, many places and spaces where we find God and get to know God. In scripture, certainly, in a church community, time in nature, spiritual practices of all kinds, even in our relationships. What nourishes your relationship with God and your spiritual growth? While I don't meditate on it day and night, I do like to pray with scripture regularly and journal my thoughts. Walks outside and yoga are ways I ground myself in my body and in the moment and teach myself to be still and allow space for the spirit to move. My church community is a big piece of my faith journey, keeping me accountable, inspiring, and speaking to me with God's voice and connecting me to the body. The camp community as well, inspiring and energizing and allowing me to embody my faith. Because we don't just send our roots down deep and stay saplings. The roots are the foundation on which we can grow tall and wide. In the camp curriculum, the trunk represented our unique life stories. No trunk grows exactly the same. The leaves and branches are what others see in us, how we embody what we bring in through our roots. And the leaves represent the give and take. We gather in light for ourselves while providing shade and shelter to others. Now, Jeremiah says the blessed tree's leaves stay green. Psalm 1 says that they never wither, and that the tree, or the person, prospers in all that they do. So I wondered, what does it mean for a tree to prosper? Well, I don't know, but here's some of my thoughts. A prosperous tree fulfills the purpose for which it was created. So the tree grows. It provides shade and shelter. It produces oxygen and the fruit of whatever kind it is. What does it mean for us to prosper in the sense of fulfilling the purpose for which we were created? We each have, I believe, unique purposes, but also we all have similar purposes: to grow, to evolve and develop, to be in a relationship with God and others in ways that foster their growth and well-being, to work towards God's vision of shalom in our own ways. We are all trees, but we are all unique, planted at different spots, growing at different paces, embodying our own unique purposes. Prospering could also include having or finding or being given strength in adversity. In Jeremiah, the blessed tree is not bothered by or doesn't worry about times of drought and heat. One of the reasons we were drawn to this text last spring as we were writing our curriculum was because already this pandemic had us feeling like we were experiencing a bit of a drought season. And we wanted to embody the green and fruitful trees that who are rooted so deeply that even drought can't stop them from growing and producing fruit. It wasn't easy, but I think we did. We provided day camps at our camps and at some of our churches. We invited kids to days or weeks filled with worship and creativity, games and activities, community and fun. Finding a strength and stability, a peace in the midst of heat and drought or wind and storm, is a promise given to us if we root ourselves in Torah and trust in God. As our relationship with God deepens, we are able to trust in God more deeply as well, and we trust more fully as our relationship grows. For me, the trunk and branches represent the embodiment of that relationship and its health. As my roots reach down and I spend time getting to know God and God's will for me and for all of creation, I grow stronger and taller and wider in how I embody my faith and how I work at being who God is calling me to be. Others don't necessarily see my roots, my time spent in prayer and stillness or even in community, but I hope that they see my branches and my leaves, the life and energy and the light that I bring to the world. If not, perhaps my roots need some tending. Another common metaphor used in church and camp and all of these things is of producing fruit. Now, not all trees produce fruit, but they all produce seeds and a way of spreading those seeds. The psalmist says that the blessed tree produces fruit each season, while Jeremiah says they never stop producing fruit. Fruit and nuts and seeds are how we share our gifts and help others to grow, either by nourishing them, as fruit nourishes other animals and birds, or by planting new seeds altogether. The metaphor stumbles a little bit here, but bear with me. If our roots are how we nourish ourselves, and our trunks are how we grow from that nourishment, our fruit, maybe, is how we nourish others. Our fruit are our gifts, gifts of the spirit, as well as talents and skills that we have, that we can each use to share our faith, to share the gospel, to share the love of God that has nourished us and given us life. And each fruit contains a seed that we send out into the world and that we hope finds somewhere to grow. The interesting thing as I was thinking about this is that the tree has little control over how its fruit and seeds are distributed. They all have their unique adaptations and collaborations with birds and animals and wind and even fire, some of them, but there is no guarantee that the seeds will find a good place to grow. The tree just does what it does and produces the seeds and trusts. So much of what we do as churches and as camp is producing seeds and trusting, and that's what we are called to do. Now, I've talked a lot about trees as individuals, but I wonder if the metaphor could include institutions too. Institutions like Whitewater Mennonite Church, like Mennonite Church Manitoba, and Camps with Meaning. What would it look like to examine where we as bodies put our roots down? How deep do we go? Are we in a desert or by a river? What kind of soil have we rooted ourselves in? And how do we embody that rootedness? Are we prospering, fulfilling our purpose, finding strength in adversity? Or are we stunted and blown by the wind? What is our fruit like? Are we producing fruit and scattering seeds? I'd like to think that Camps with Meaning is rooted in Anabaptist values of community, reconciliation, and discipleship. I hope that we are fulfilling our purpose of connecting campers to Christ, to the Creator, to creation, and to community. I hope that we are strong enough to weather this drought and all the others that we will face. And I believe that we are green and fruitful, planting seeds and nurturing growth. I hope and pray the same for you as individuals and as a community. May you be like trees planted in good, rich soil, with roots reaching deep into Torah and practices that grow your trust in God, able to withstand and weather all adversity, remaining green and fruitful and prosperous, sending your seeds of love and faith out with hope. Amen.
Too deep, and my soul finds no resting place but Him. He is my God, the yearning of my soul, His touch can still, and each rare moment I felt His presence, I shall remember. And forever cherish. Deep calls to deep, for He created me to be His own. He understands the joy and pain of life He too has known, and each rare moment I felt His presence, I shall remember and forever cherish. deep calls to deep, and at his feast I am a welcome guest. He gives me food, the hunger of my soul is laid to rest, and each rare moment I felt his presence. I shall remember forever cherish.
A benediction from Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1. Blessed are you who trust in the Lord, who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, who have made the Lord your hope and confidence. May you be like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water, not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. May your leaves stay green, and may you never stop producing fruit. May you prosper in all you do, and may the Lord watch over your path. Amen.